Video game fans probably recognize that piece of music. That is from
Katamari, or Beautiful Katamari.
Or Beautiful Katamari, which released this week on the Xbox 360. I'm here. My name is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. I'm here with E.
Hello, everyone.
I'm tipping on my tongue. I don't know what's wrong
with
me.
Do we want to re-record this?
No, let's keep going. Why? Let's have some fun here.
Let's go. All right.
So this is show number 248. This is October 21st, which is October's next week is Halloween.
No, week after.
No, whatever.
Okay,
whatever.
Sure. We're planning for Halloween. How
right.
About that?
Do you want to talk about your Halloween party?
I'm having a Halloween party.
Are you inviting it? Would you like to invite some listeners? No.
No, yeah. Sorry. Some people that are listening will be at the party.
I barely get invited.
You are invited.
I didn't even know about it until today. We were sitting at lunch, and you're like, hey, you know, and there was like, oh, we're going to have one.
You had one last year.
Yeah, but you told me you weren't having one.
No, Trixie told you I wasn't having one.
No,
and then
that's right.
Trixie announced on the podcast last week that I wasn't having one. But the reality is I am having one.
Oh, you weren't inviting her?
No, she's invited.
Oh, okay.
Just like last year, her and I are kind of co-hosting it.
Right.
By which I mean I'm having a party at my house and Trixie's helping me decorate.
So Beautiful Katamari's out this week. You played some.
I played last night.
I was rolling my Katamari around, which I remember, I think this is right. Someone had told me that Katamari is Japanese for ball of stuff.
Exactly. I was just going to say ball of stuff.
So that's so I was rolling my ball of stuff around.
It's just a fun game. I was playing. It was like, I don't know, maybe 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning. Couldn't sleep. That was a great game to just put in and kind of veg to until I got tired.
I don't like the rah, 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 of the king speaking.
I had the audio off because someone else was playing Guitar Hero
right.
and was listening to that, so I heard none of the music, so it was just pretty light.
Yeah, going. So Katamari's out this week. Hey, before we get started, I want to talk about, we got some great interviews this week, as always.
Yes.
I have a guy from Team Fortress 2. We're going to talk to those guys. They're going to have some information about their title update.
Cool.
Which is coming out. We have, who else do we have? Chad Finley, who is a project director on Tony Hawk. We have Mizuguchi, responsible for E4.
Ooh, and... Yes, and the more E you can get, the better.
And you'll talk about that. And then Jonathan Colton, who, if you don't know who he is, you're going to find out who he is. You know who he is. You just don't know who he is.
Yes, and you love his work.
So let's go through, what do you got for Xbox news this week? We have all sorts of Xbox news this week, right, E?
It's been a busy week. I mean, news item number one was the NPD numbers came out.
All right, I want to talk about those. I posted about those on the blog. I actually made an update to my blog entry about those because I made the blog entry, I think it was like Thursday night before I went home is when the news hit. And then I linked off to Joystick, and then I linked off to, there's some stories on Kotaku, because then Sony came out with what they thought of the numbers, and then Nintendo came out with their version, and so on and so forth.
Everyone's got to put their spin on it.
Right.
So for anyone who doesn't know, NPD numbers are United States retail sales numbers that cover like 60 or 70 or some percent of U.S. sales outlets, but they're not the actual, you know, numbers, because there are places like Costco that NPD doesn't measure.
Right.
So it's not necessarily, oh, that's exactly how many of everything got sold, but it gives you a pretty good indication of who had a good month, who didn't, what games are popular, what aren't.
Yeah, so ours, we were the number one, Xbox 360 is the number one console for the month, outselling the PS3 5-1, although I've seen some math, people say it was 4.3-1.
Okay.
So.
We sold a lot more.
We sold more. The Xbox 360 software revenue retail outsold PS3 portfolio 8-1 and Wii's 4-1 selling, big.
We sold a lot of Halo 3 is really what the numbers
is. Is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of those, we saw some lifts with the hardware going out too, some people buying the Halo Xboxes.
Yep. And some people that just didn't have them yet and were waiting for Halo 3.
A lot of people. And then Orange Box also was huge. Mass Effect coming up is going to be big. Of course, BioShock, can't forget that, and Madden. There's some big titles.
Yes. And last month, was it 6 of the top 10 games were 360 titles?
I believe so.
I think that's I can't read your laptop from here. But
yeah,
I know.
I've got it up here on the laptop. I'm trying to figure out what the... Yeah, it's really all about Halo.
Yeah,
is what this is. So,
and in the U.S., according to NPD, we sold 3.3 million copies of Halo.
Yep.
So
actually, Xbox 360 holds 6 in the top 10 console games.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I wasn't listening. Were you talking?
That's a good point.
And that, yeah, anyway, so you can go up and take a look at this. So it was a good week. And then the PlayStation guys tried to put their version of this out. And then the Nintendo guys came out with their version. So I put links of right at the top of this post, actually, on the blog, what Reggie was saying and cool. So on and so forth. So go ahead and take a look at that. Want to talk about Sony for a second? Because they announced some stuff this week. What did they announce, E?
They announced both a new SKU and a price cut.
So the new SKU is... SKU is standard... What is it?
Stock keeping unit. So in other words, it's like a version of a product.
Right.
So like when you have on a DVD where you've got the regular DVD and the special edition, right. Those are both different SKUs.
Two different SKUs.
So every time you introduce a different bundle or whatever of a console, new SKU.
So it's like the Xbox 360, the Halo edition, or the Elite. Those are three different SKUs.
Right.
So they have a new SKU.
Right. So it's a PS3 with a 40 gig hard drive, mm-hmm. and no backwards compatibility.
Zero.
For PS2 games.
For PS2 games.
It does PS1 back compat.
Okay.
Although I don't think a lot of people are playing games that old anymore.
Yeah.
But there's a few.
Although actually, in one of the interviews coming up, one of my guests talks about one of his favorite PS1 games.
Well, like Final Fantasy VII
right.
was a PS1 game. I'm sure there are still people playing that.
Right, right.
But no PS2 support. And right. they talked a little bit about it. The interesting thing was they said it's... And I'm trying to remember who said this. Might have been Jack Tretton. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong,
I think you're
apologize.
Right. Yeah.
But said basically it's not so much about price cutting as it is, you know, they're trying to position the console as look at all the cool new games we have.
Right.
And if you want to play PS2 games, PS2s are really cheap. So just go buy one.
Should I go buy one? I don't have one yet for my office. Should I go buy one?
A PS2?
Three.
Sure.
Which one should I get?
I don't know what we're going to do with it.
What should I get? The 40 gig, the 60 gig, the 80 gig? The Japanese white one?
Right. The crystal white?
The crystal white is what they're calling it. Which one should I get?
60 gig.
Okay.
Because that's the one with the hardware back compat in it.
Right. So
they're still floating around.
Yeah. I'll see if I can pick. I should just because I need to have one in my office. I haven't found a reason to get one now, but I really want to see what's...
It's nice to always know what the
competition is. I can play Portal again.
Yeah. There you go. Well, it's not out yet.
That's right.
PS3.
It's not out yet. That's right.
So that's the other piece of the news. They dropped the price of the 80 gig
right.
model.
Down
so
to...
the 80 gig went from $599 to $499.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the 80 gig still comes bundled with MotorStorm. I lost track, but they've changed that a couple times. So
they have some news this week.
Yep.
Although, wait a minute. The 80 gig, they dropped the price on the 80 gig, right?
Right. That's what I just said. You're not listening
to
me.
No, wait. Stop. It just came out a month ago.
No, it was longer than that.
2 months.
Something like that, okay. Yeah. But I think now I'm speculating, of course, but I think the idea was get rid of the 60s
right.
and then drop the price of the 80 because retail stores don't want too many SKUs
right.
because then they have to make shelf space and
right.
where they
it's confusing.
And, yeah, so I think the idea was clear out the 60s and then put the 80 at the price of the 60.
All right, so that's the PS3 news.
I am not a marketing person, but I gladly play one on podcasts.
Yes, you do, and quite well, I might add.
Is that an insult? Or?
No, not at all. Oh, okay. Not at all. Not
sorry,
at all.
I just insulted our marketing people, but I meant that in a nice way.
You're not a marketing person.
I'm not.
Meanwhile, while you're over here recording this podcast, they're down in the Zoc pushing buttons and whatnot.
Maybe I should go.
Yeah, maybe you should go. So what else? Oh, you know what? I want to talk about there's an event in New York this week, and I'm not going, but Trixie will be there.
Okay.
And I asked her to come in, but she's on. She's going to be. I think she's actually on her way to New York right now. Let me pull up the details.
Okay. I don't know what. Oh wait, I do know what this event.
Actually,
is.
It says the Xbox community invites you to join Xbox, Toys R Us, and Radio Disney for Xbox 360 Family Fun Day at the Times Square store. Toys R Us.
Oh, I love that Toys R Us.
From 12 to 2 on Tuesday, October 23rd. Take a long walk shower if you work in the city, or take the day off, pull the kids out of school, and come hang out with Trixie. So Trixie will be there taking pictures and giving away cool stuff.
That Toys R Us has an indoor Ferris wheel.
Yeah, it does.
Last time I was in New York, we went there twice.
Did you ride the Ferris wheel?
We did not ride the Ferris wheel, but we bought it.
So it's a full-size Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
For those people that haven't been there.
It's like a four-story Toys R Us. It's ginormous.
So if you're listening to this, if you're in the greater tri-state area before October 23rd, Tuesday, swing on down and see Trixie 12 to 2. She'll be giving some cool stuff away and see what she's doing.
And Swag is always good.
And maybe you can work on her. Maybe she'll bring you as her date to E's Halloween party.
Yeah, but then they'd have to fly here. Because I'm not anywhere near the greater tri-state area.
Yeah, that's right. You're not.
But if Trixie wants to bring a date to the party, that's cool.
Speaking of that, did I tell you I'm going back to New York State?
No.
I'm
why are you saying it like
I may
snuck in?
No, I may be going up to the to upstate New York for a college recruitment event.
Oh God.
So unfortunately I'm not going to Syracuse University, though, my alma mater.
Okay.
No, that's all I know.
Because, you know, you're our community guy. You do podcasts.
Right.
And, of course, you wouldn't go back to a school that does communications.
Right. Or they have actually a pretty good computer science department as well.
Uh-huh.
But
sure.
So I'm going up to – I believe I'm going to be going –
How's their football team?
Sucky.
Oh, okay.
Sucktacular this year. So I'm actually – you know, I moved past that.
So they're after kinda, the first they're game, kind of like the UW Huskies.
Right. Precisely. Okay. Precisely.
Got it.
So I may be in upstate New York at the beginning of December, because if anybody who knows what upstate New York is like in the beginning of December, it's snow.
Yeah,
there's many feet of snow.
That's going to be awesome for you.
I can't say what school I'm going to be at yet, but I'll definitely, when I have it confirmed.
it's a secret. Some school in upstate New York?
Some school in upstate New York. It's an engineering school.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
I'm sure I know where
we'll just
going.
Leave it at that. So I, okay. Once I know details, hey, actually, you know what? We got to talk about what we got to get KP.
What are we getting?
So here's the deal, guys.
What?
Okay, for those people that don't know, I grew up in Connecticut, and we have a guy that works with us, KP, who used to work over at Bungie.
Right.
Now, if there's anybody in the central Connecticut area who can get me a Vinyl Tech T-shirt for him, and I'm not going to explain anymore.
Okay, but you're going to explain to me.
I'll
later.
I'll explain to you later.
I have no idea
but
what this is.
Anybody out there can get me a Vinyl Tech T-shirt in like double XL for KP. I'll make it worth your while. So email me, major@xbox.com.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the end of that. I put that pitch out there.
Moving
All right,
on.
Let's move on to more Xbox news.
Did you hear what happened to KP this morning?
No.
He backed down from a challenge. He was scared.
Of what?
Playing foosball.
Yeah, I heard about that from you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get back to Xbox news. What do you got? What do you
Someone's over here laughing.
What do you have for Xbox news, Z? So we talked about PS3. We talked about the New York event with Trixie.
Yep.
We talked about, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Okay. So, last weekend,
mm-hmm.
So people have heard you before, Wine, why don't I, you know, how come we don't play more, let's play Halo
You and
3.
I have not played...
I think we've played, like, one game.
I think you're right, one game.
So Saturday night,
yep.
It's about 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting in a lobby with two other people,
mm-hmm.
We're going to play Halo 3 campaign on Legendary.
Mm-hmm. Which I've been meaning to do.
Yes, and we've talked about playing together multiple times.
Yes, we have.
And I am you. I say, Major, we've got an extra spot. Come play campaign on Legendary with us. And you say,
I can't. E.
Yeah, something along the lines of,
I think
I'm tired and I'm going to bed.
I think I was going to spend some time with my wife.
She may have just flown in from somewhere.
Right. I think that's exactly what it was. Right. She was on her way into town. So I couldn't, you know, because the last thing guys or girls, you know, if your significant other just comes home from being away for a few days, the last thing you need to be doing is sitting in front of the TV playing video games.
Yeah, I can understand that. But I did invite you.
Right, you did.
Sure that's clear.
Yes, you did, yep.
So we picked up a fourth,
yep.
And we played Legendary straight through.
Right.
Which we wrapped up around 5 a.m.
Yeah, I want to be clear. So. If I had joined you, I would have bailed out about 1:30 or 2.
Well, there was a point around 3:30 or 4 where I dozed off for
you actually
maybe
fell
like
asleep
60
playing.
Or 90 seconds. Well, we were watching all the cutscenes,
right?
Because one of the people who had played had never played campaign,
right?
So she wanted to see all the cutscenes. So we were waiting, and I dozed off during one of the cutscenes and woke back up, and everyone hadn't gotten far enough for me to warp away from the start point yet,
right?
So I know I wasn't, you know, dozed off for very long,
right?
But including time futzing around with skulls and terminals, I went up to Bungie.net and added up our times, and we finished in 5.5 hours. So we powered through pretty fast.
That's not bad.
So, but four good players on Legendary. Most of you've played before and you play.
Now,
a
did
lot
you get
online.
The skulls?
We didn't get all of them. We got all but two of the gold skulls, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't actually have any guides out, so it was a matter of, did somebody remember on that, oh yeah, there's a skull over here, stop, let's go
but
get it.
But you had your laptop open, so. I'm sure you were looking for them.
No, we actually did not have any guides out. We played purely from memory, because a couple of people had played campaign several times through. I played it once, so there were some great moments. I actually stuck all... What are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out what the temperature is in here. It's 68 degrees in here.
What? Why do you have a thermometer in your light fixture?
Because it was so cold in here this morning. I sent a note to the facilities people telling them it was cold, and they wouldn't believe me.
So you...
68 degrees in here.
Okay. It's 68 degrees at the light fixture.
Well,
why don't you? I don't want to know.
Cold air and drops. And it's dropping on my head.
Something's going to be dropping on your head any moment now. So, anyways, campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some phenomenal moments. We've been playing with like screenshots and stuff, and some very cool stuff happened. If anyone wants to go look, the videos are all up on my file share.
Okay.
So, and God, I love that functionality.
That's good stuff.
The ability to do the screenshots, to do the videos, to go back and see, wait, what really happened? That's a lot.
Speaking of that, so we talked about this earlier in the week. I was playing with Lithion last week we were playing double team.
Right.
In social, because we can't go.
It's not double team anymore.
Well, it's
social doubles.
Social doubles.
Which kind of makes it sound like you were on a date.
Yeah, it's probably not like wrong. Social doubles. So we're playing double team. I'm going to call it social double team. And we, because we're not going into rank, because he doesn't want to get his rank ruined by me.
Right. I have the same issue with people.
That's not true. With me? We haven't played enough.
I mean, there are people that I like to play with that don't want to play ranked doubles with me.
So, exactly. So, we're in there playing, and we're having a great time, and, you know, we're doing our thing. And about 2 days later, somebody sends me an email. One of the guys that we had played recognized my gamer tag. And it was this guy there was some weird geometry, and that's the technical term for it in video games, where he took a screenshot of my character, my Master Chief, holding the rocket launcher. And it looked like a quad rocket launcher. It had four ports coming out of it.
Right. You've got the Special Major Nelson rocket
launcher. Yeah, so he was convinced that it was, or at least that's the way I understood it, he was convinced that it was like I had a special one, and I was like, no. Yes,
because the guys at Bungie love you so much.
Right, they're giving my own weapon.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I've actually got, it's a quad, just quad banger going at it.
Then you should be better. If you have a quad,
you would absolutely think that, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go into these interviews, because we have some interviews to go into.
Yes.
The interviews, I want to talk about the interviews right now. We're going to kick it off with Team Fortress. We're going to go right into into Tony Hawk, and then we're going to go followed up with Mizuguchi on E4. Have you played E4 yet?
I have not.
And then we're going to finish it up with Jonathan Colton, who you're going to find out in the interview who he is.
Yes.
All right, Team Fortress 2 is one of the hot games on Xbox Live with its release it's part of the Orange Box, and I have on the line with me Robin Walker, who's a program and designer from the team. Robin, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So Team Fortress 2, this is a lot of people have waited. Well, I think it would not be an exaggeration if I said people have been waiting a long time for this game.
Yes, people have been waiting a long time for this game, no doubt about it.
Tell us a little bit about Team Fortress 2 for people that haven't had a chance to pick up their Orange Box yet. Of course, it's available on the Xbox 360, and it's available on PC, and it's also available via Steam.
Yep. Team Fortress 2 is a class-based multiplayer game, so when you join the game, you choose a role, and that role defines all the weapons and abilities that you have. And the focus of the game is very much on making sure that each of those choices you have in the roles are really unique and have a really sort of strong position on the battlefield relative to all the others. And the sort of goal there is that no matter what kind of player you are, no matter what sort of game you like, and know it's no matter what sort of skill set you have, that there's a class that will sort of gel well for you so you can sort of find your place on the battlefield.
Now, this game is, obviously, the Xbox 360 has a lot of great shooters and first-person shooters on it. How would you explain this title and differentiate it from some of the other ones that are out there?
It's sort of a little cliche, but I think that one of the things we did was focus a lot on fun, and we're making sure that you know you can have fun right away as you jump into the game. We sort of spent a lot of time on taking things that I think usually in games aren't very fun, like say just dying itself, and made that into a lot of fun, so that you can learn rapidly from your successes and failures and improve yourself really quickly. One of the things we sort of see relative to a lot, I mean, we've been working multiplayer games ourselves for a long time, and one of the things we've seen with this title more so than other previous titles are that in general, when there's 24 players on the server, they're all having fun no matter whether some of them are really, really experienced players and some of them are really, really beginner players, so that we don't have this sort of stratification that happens in most multiplayer shooters where only the top guys get to have fun.
Yeah, like with me, where I usually get spawn killed by somebody with a sniper on the other side of the map.
Right. Yeah, in TF2, you've got, you know, there's a whole bunch of options you've got there. So, you know, you could play an engineer, for example, who's a guy who's almost more like an RTS game. You know, you're building sentry guns and so on, and they're doing most of your killing for you. So if you can't aim at all, or you're, you know, terrible on a controller or whatever, then, you know, the engineer is going to be a great class for you. And then if you still like shooting people, but again, you're not still not great at aim, you've got guys like the heavy weapons guy who runs around with a massive gun with a huge, it's almost like a huge fire hose that just sprays out so many bullets that, you know, you're concentrating more on positioning than the aim necessarily. So, you know, there's a lot of options in TF2 that'll fit sort of whatever skill set you have.
I want to talk to you about the history of the game. We talked about it just a moment ago. This thing's been in development for quite some time. Tell me, give the listeners a little bit of history around Team Fortress 2.
Team Fortress 2 is a product started years ago. Sort of one of the amusing things about it is that it won the 1998 best multiplayer game of E3, even though we ended up shipping it now. So it's been in development for quite a while, and it sort of just speaks to sort of the way that we develop games at Valve. Our sort of we're not under a lot of time pressure. What we really sort of aim for is a quality bar, and we do a heck of a lot of external playtesting, which means we bring in gamers and watch them play and take a lot of notes. And we just keep working on something until we think it's worth releasing. And with Team Fortress 2, it really just took us a fair while to find something we were really happy with.
Now, have you been, Robin, working on this game since 1988?
We juggled a bunch of different things, so, I mean, I worked on other things as well. I worked on TF2 for most of that time, though.
98, right?
Sorry. What was the date of that?
1998.
Yeah, okay.
Doug's. What was I saying?
Or you were telling me that you've been working on this for on and off for the past few years.
Yeah, there's always been a version of TF2 that's sort of in the hopper being tested. We tried a bunch of different things, going to much more complex systems, to simpler versions, and we tried a variety of art directions. And in the end, we sort of found something we were really happy with on both the gameplay and the art side. From our perspective, this is sort of the best sort of gelling of an art direction and a gameplay style that we've ever done at Valve, where the art and the game fit together, you know, really, really well and complement each other really well. And certainly the art direction is one of the first things that people tend to notice about the game. We get a lot of really positive reactions to the uniqueness of the art.
Yeah, I want to talk about the art style for a second, because it's very, there's a throwback to it of like the early 20th century. It's a really crisp design. Tell us how you arrived on that, because I know you've been messing around with a bunch of different designs, but tell me how you arrived on this one.
Okay. So TF2 was one of the first games it is the first game we've ever had the chance to sort of approach art direction the way we've always felt like you should approach art direction, which is that you get your game mostly done, and then you figure out the visual style that best works with the gameplay. And so TF2, because it had been in development for so long, we had a really good understanding of how the game played and what was fun in it and so on. And so we're able to ask questions like, you know, what sort of problems should the art direction solve for us? What are the primary problems that we deal with in this kind of game? And so some obvious things like, well, it's a multiplayer game. The most important thing are the players. I should be able to see the players at all times. It should be incredibly easy for me to pull the players off the background when I'm looking, you know, when I'm scanning across my screen looking for them. And then we're able to talk about things like, well, what's most important about the player? It's like, well, what class is he, and what team is he on, and what weapon is he holding? These are all really, really key important problems that as a player, when I'm playing the game, I want solved for me by the art direction. And so we're able to try a bunch of different art directions and find one that we felt best solved these problems. And among other things, stylization was one of the key things, because the game tends to be fairly exaggerated and contains a lot of humorous situations, so stylization fit that well. And the early art direction sort of, one of the artists we sort of liked a bunch was a guy named J.C. Leyendecker, who was an early 20th century artist, and he did something we liked a lot, which was he did a lot of detail in clothing that didn't affect the silhouette of a character, and silhouettes are very important to us, because through a lot of playtesting, what we found is that at great distance, when a character is very small on the screen, you know, say half an inch tall on your screen, you can't tell texture detail at all. It's useless, and with a variety of lighting situations, you can't tell color either. What we found was that silhouette and animation were the key identifiers at long range. So we knew that to tell classes apart, you had to the classes had to all have really unique silhouettes because that was the information you were most keying off at distance. And so when we looked around for artists doing really interesting things with detail, well, leaving silhouettes sort of untouched, he was one of the guys we cottoned onto. So if you look at the lineup of TF's characters, you'll really see how much of that sort of very explicit design on the silhouettes lends into the, you know, then the detail which comes out of artists like Leyendecker.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed was, and I've actually seen this reference also in print, is that it also has a very Norman Rockwell feel, not necessarily in the settings, but just in the color palette you've chosen.
Yes, definitely. We're very explicit about color choices throughout the game. One of the other sort of things we found a lot through testing was that contrast was very, very important. One of the things that artists have understood for centuries is that the human eye is drawn to areas of high contrast. And so if you look at all of our characters, you'll notice that we tend to have this sort of subtle gradient of darkness down the feet up to the brightest areas all around the chest on the characters. And if you look at characters like the soldier, he has his grenades on his chest, and the demon has, you know, other grenades on their chest, and Heavy has his ammo belt across his chest. And what we're doing there is deliberately creating the area of highest contrast right on the chest. And the chest is important because that's where the characters hold their weapons. And so what we're doing there is using old art tricks to deliberately pull players' eyes to the area that contains the most important piece of information that they're trying to extract from the character. And so all these things, the silhouettes and the lighting, the gradients, the contrast and so on, all come together so that when that guy comes around, running around the corner, you instantly pull the information you need to know. Oh, it's a scout and he's holding his shotgun, you know, or it's a, you know, it's an engineer and he's got his wrench out. And those things tell you a bunch of info about what that character's intentions are, which are very important for you as a player when deciding, you know, what am I going to do based on, you know, what class am I and what am I trying to do right now?
Yeah, this guy coming at me. I was reading an interview earlier this year where I believe it was you that you were quoted as saying there's probably three or four different game styles before settling on the final design. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for me?
Sure. You know, in some ways, I think we did what a lot of sort of amateur game designers do when we came to Valve. We just finished up, you know, the first version of Team Fortress, and we sort of designed our grand game. And our grand game was this one that was just incredibly complex. And, you know, it was sort of almost impenetrable to half the people working on the team, let alone, you know, any customer who might have picked it up. And what we were trying to do was build this game that had sort of a kitchen sink design. It had pretty much everything in it. And what we found as we sort of plugged away at that over the years is that, you know, some of it's pretty obvious that, you know, more complexity doesn't necessarily mean more fun. And in a lot of cases, more complexity doesn't necessarily mean more depth, which is the thing you really want. You know, you want a deep game. But you don't want it to be complex. And so a lot of the early versions had things like that. We sort of noodled away on things like a commander who was a player who would just play the game like an RTS, ordering other players around. And we did a lot of playtesting and really just never found a version of that that we felt was really fun.
So that you basically said the commander just wasn't adding anything to the game.
It wasn't adding enough to sort of, I guess, make up for the extra complexity he was adding. So, you know, there were a lot of social, and the command, this is sort of a general statement for many of the features we're looking at there. In the commander's particular case, there were a bunch of social issues there that were pretty tricky to manage about, you know, making sure that the people who were being told what to do by this guy liked being told what to do by that guy, and vice versa. The commander didn't get really, you know, the commanders could still have fun if they did had a team that didn't want to do what they were telling them to do and so on. So right. There were a bunch of really tricky problems there.
One of the things, we talked about the classes quite a bit, but I want to talk to you a little bit more about them because there's nine classes, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. How did you, when you were designing this multiplayer, and I've talked to a lot of developers over the years, and they all talk about balance. How did you decide that, you know, the scout could easily go up against the heavy or the medic or the spy? How did you come up with a good balance there?
Okay, we tend to focus on roles a lot. So our core goal in a class is to make sure each class has a unique role within the battlefield, and a role can sort of take two parts. It can be either some purpose that's unique, or it could be a purpose that may be shared by other classes, but the execution of that is in a completely different way. So, you know, the engineer's purpose is to defend, to some extent. And there are other defenders, but the way the engineer does it is dramatically different. So that's sort of at a high level how we start with a role. We often think about who are the customers for a role. So we think about specific types of players, and we think, okay, who, you know, is there a type of player that wants to play this kind of game but can't right now? You know, like I, the sort of player who may want to play multiplayer FPSs but just really can't get the hang of fine aim, for example. Or perhaps the type of player who really wants to play these but has a bad net connection. You know, so we think about customers like that, and we think about the types of roles we've got, and we try to come up with some new role that sounds interesting. And then from that we go to thinking about what kind of weapons and abilities and so on that the character could have that'll contribute to that role, and we build some prototypes and play a bunch. When it comes to actually balancing them, like once we've got a role that we think is successful in that, it's providing some experience that you can't get in the other roles, then we start to do balancing. And when it comes to balancing, I think one of the sort of simplest sort of keys to it is to realize that the sort of important thing to do there is that wherever you can is sort of make sure classes, roles have sort of an explicit weakness along with their explicit strengths, on the assumption that the strength is whatever it is that's helping them, you know, achieve the role that, you know, hopefully they're doing that no one else is doing, then the weakness is the key thing that lets you really balance that out. And so the Scout is a good example where he's a character who we were able to really make fairly powerful in Team Fortress 2. He's sort of, quite a lethal flanker. His speed allows him to maneuver a lot in battle in a way that none of the other classes are able to. So we think of him as the guy who most exploits things like flanking and taking an alternative route to come up behind some guys and so on. And he's sort of combat is characterized by a frenetic speed. So, you know, the sort of players who like that role are the guys who are able to really move and in sort of all three dimensions using a double jump, and at the same time keep their crosshair on some target as they're sort of bouncing around it. But he's really counterbalanced because of his significant weakness to things like sentry guns and heavy weapons guys at distance, where he doesn't really have in any way. So if a team decides to overinvest in scouts, then the enemy team has a pretty straightforward answer to that. They can say, well, we just need a couple more engineers. And one engineer can definitely stop a lot more than one scout. So he's really able to balance out that. The strengths of the scout there. So, in summary, like when we're doing balancing, we're really looking in a lot of cases at what are the weaknesses of this class. What are the if a team decided to overinvest in this class, what are the valid responses that the enemy team could take?
The other thing I was noticing when I was looking at the classes the other evening is that not only they've got their weapons and so on and so forth, but each one of them has a very distinct personality. The soldier is kind of like got this George C. Scott thing going on. Of course, the heavy guy is just huge. But they all have very interesting personalities, and I just thought that was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. And I think some of that was driven by a desire on our part to understand the characters better, which helps us come up with better designs. Our visuals are influenced a lot by the sort of background fiction we write for those characters and so on. And we knew we were going to do things like the Meet the Heavy and the Meet the Demo class movies that we've been releasing. And so, it just seemed like a lot of fun to do from our perspective. And then it ended up actually impacting the game in a lot of ways, too. We spent a lot of time. The background sort of speech system that the game contains is something we developed for Half-Life originally, but it actually fits Team Fortress, to some extent even better than Half-Life. It's sort of this dynamic speech system that's continuously looking at the state of the world and trying to choose appropriate things for characters to say. So, a character who might be reloading right now, the system might look at the state of the world and decide this character should be pretty scared right now, so it's going to choose a reloading line that sounds pretty worried. Or it might look at the state of the world and realize, oh wait, this guy just mowed down three enemy guys and he's dominating one of them. It's time for this guy to sound a little cocky when he reloads his gun. And so it can pick different lines to speak. And the great thing about this is, apart from that, it's this great contextual element to the game that adds a, sort of a layer of fun to it and helps you, you know, understand these characters and make them all a little more unique. It also helps you, helps players understand what's going on in the game. You know, hearing that engineer yelling as he's assembling something which is really useful to you is a great way of broadcasting the ways that players are helping each other. Even to simple social things like having your character thank the medic after the medic pumps you up back to full health, we found had a really big impact on players' sort of enjoyment of the game.
The other thing is that you've also got some character shorts that you've released. Tell me about some of those. That maybe some people haven't picked up the game yet.
Sorry, I was coughing there. Doug's going to get me a drink. could you run the question by me again, sir?
No, no problem. Also, we were talking about characters. Tell me a little bit about the character shorts that you guys have released. They kind of give you a flavor of these characters that we just talked about.
Yeah, that was sort of something that... you know, like many things, had multiple sort of purposes for us. You know, we thought it'd be really fun for people to meet these guys in a sort of a setting that really gave you a sense of who they were and their personalities and what they were about. And at the same time, it helped us a lot. You know, as I say, defining the fiction, defining the sort of what's actually going on behind something often helps us come up with better designs. So those were sort of, the shorts were driven out of... background stuff that we wrote before we actually designed the characters visually and so on, and going down to the level of voice casting these characters and so on, were all just good ways of us as a team nailing down who these people were, so that when it came to implementing, you know, all kinds of little features about them and so on in the game and their visuals and so on, it was a lot easier because we were all on the same page. We all understood who they were, so... You know, it became very important that the demo man could break his bottle on the wall before he ran over and hit someone with it.
And
like
where can people find these character shorts?
We've released some of them. So we released all of them on Steam, so you can get that through if you're on your PC. On the Xbox, I know we've released one. I'm not sure, maybe more. Doug would know exactly.
Sure.
On the Xbox, and I think we're going to try and get more of them up there as well. And then, of course, you know, thanks to the power of the internet, they're on YouTube and every other video site out there.
Yeah,
as well.
They're pretty much everywhere.
Nothing can contain them.
Yeah, I also want to talk about you guys. You know, Valve has always been really, really has its ear to the ground with the community, which is fantastic. You guys last week had a play with the developers from Valve on Team Fortress 2 on Xbox Live. That must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a bunch. There's a bunch of us here at Valve, I think, have been playing, you know, really regularly ever since the game's out. We had the earlier versions on the Xbox, before it hit retail, and we're all playing amongst ourselves and just very much looking forward to everyone getting it. You know, the great thing about multiplayer game development is you get to be really good at the game, or better than everyone else, for this incredibly short amount of time right after the game releases. And then, a week later, you know, everyone out there can beat you. So we're all enjoying that week right now.
It's since the game has really been, for lack of a better term, epic development, and I think, you know, 9 years as epic qualifies as epic development. does it feel, obviously it feels great to have it out there, but you've also got it tagged onto the Orange Box, which is this huge success. I mean, it's getting huge ratings everywhere.
Yeah, it's great. You always hope that you're making good decisions when you're developing. Part of the reason we do so much playtesting of Valve is that that's sort of the only way, short of releasing the game, we can get a real sense of how we're doing. And so, it was a long development, but, we were playtesting a lot throughout it, and we felt like we were making the right decisions each step of the way. You know, in retrospect, there are many things I'd do differently, but, we're incredibly happy with both the product at the end of the day and the response to it. To be honest, the response has really sort of taken us aback a little.
Well, people have been waiting. When I was talking to some guys here at the Xbox headquarters, they were like, "Yeah, I've been waiting for this since 19." Like we talked about, since 1998, it's been kind of crazy. I want to talk to you about, there's been some talk about an update coming along for Xbox Live and some of the issues that some people are seeing there. Can you tell me what's going on there?
Yeah, we've got an update. It's in cert right now, actually, so hopefully it'll be out really soon after this, if not already. And it fixes pretty much everything we've seen in terms of issues on the Xbox, and includes a bunch of things like better networking, better performance across the board, and things like that. So hopefully people will be really happy with that.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people always say, well, how come you guys didn't catch this before in testing? Or what do you say to somebody like that?
we keep working. I mean, a lot of the things we're releasing in this update, like networking performance and so on, are things that there is no perfect, you know, it can always get better. You just keep working. The more time you've got, the better it's going to get.
Yeah.
And some of that, and the other sort of part of that is the better data you can get, the better decisions you can make too. So some of the improvements you're seeing here on the Xbox come from some of the data we're able to gather from the PC beta, for example, and so on. So there's a lot of improvements here. In some ways, that's also part of what you get when you buy a Valve product, too, though. We're sort of known for releasing continuously. We're going to release a lot of updates on the PC side, and hopefully be rolling a lot of those back into the Xbox as well. So I think if you're a customer of any of our games, you're definitely going to see more of that content coming.
What's next for Team Fortress? What can we expect for Team Fortress 2?
We've got a few things in the hopper. We're building some more maps right now, so you'll see some more maps for the current game types we've got. We've got a new map in the hopper that's got a new game type as well that we'll start talking about soon. We've got a few ideas. I think people are probably underestimating the amount we're planning on changing it, to be honest. But we're going to... Another thing we like to do at Valve is wait until we can sort of show it in a lot of ways. So we're not going to talk about it just yet.
Understood. Well, listen, Robin, I really appreciate your time. Robin Walker, programmer designer on Team Fortress 2, the long-awaited Team Fortress 2, now available as part of the critically acclaimed Orange Box, which is on PC, available via PC on a DVD. It's available via Steam and, of course, on the Xbox 360. Robin, I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Larry.
All right, Tony Hawk Proving Ground in stores this week on the Xbox 360. On the line with me, Chad Finley, who's the project director. Chad, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
So the title, the game is finally out this week. I know whenever I talk to people who are working on games, it feels like they've been working on them for a year, 2 years, sometimes 3 years, or in the case of Team Fortress, 9 years. But your development cycle is a little shorter than that. Tell us about Tony Hawk Proving Ground. It's in stores this week on the Xbox 360, correct?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
I said it's in stores this week on the Xbox 360, correct?
Yes, it is.
So tell us about some of the cool features. There's a cool video editor and things like that. I want to talk to you about how Tony Hawk Proving Ground uses Xbox Live.
Okay, well, we really want to make sure that Xbox Live is a large part of the game this year. We know there's a lot of guys out there that like to share content. They like to play online. So we did a lot of things this year to try to involve the Xbox Live community a lot more. The video editor is one of the biggest ways we chose to do that. I don't know if you have a chance to play around with it yet, but you can create your own edits. You know, you can set your own cameras. You can record as you're playing and then just decide as soon as you do something cool to make a clip out of that. You can put all your clips together of your best stuff. You can set it to music. You can set different effects. You can set different cameras and all this, and you have a fully functioning video editor. But then what we do is we actually grade your videos based on, you know, what tricks you do, how well you trick to the beat, you know. Do you edit to the beat, all this. And if your edits score well enough, we actually upload, you can upload your edit to Xbox Live, and then anybody can go to the leaderboards and download those edits so they can check out what everybody's doing and see if they can beat it. That was a huge thing for me because it's a lot of fun to create really, really fun videos and be able to share them with people and see what other people are doing as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at there's actually a cool little video of the video editor up on Xbox.com on the Tony Hawk Proving Ground page, and I'll put a link off to that. It really looks interesting, some of the stuff you guys are doing. I didn't realize so what I'm doing in the video editor is actually going to be graded, which is very interesting.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Like, when we finished working on the game itself and just were starting to fix bugs, I was doing a lot of the videos for the front end of the game, and I just spent forever playing around with it and then seeing how it would score, then playing it in a different way and seeing how it would score, and playing it a different way and seeing how it would score. It was just a lot of fun to play around with, and then just trying to get the highest score that I could on the leaderboards.
Yeah, I mean, what I've been reading about the game, and I haven't had a chance to really play it yet. I'm going to do that this weekend, but it's really it's about creating your own story, and that's what the video editor really does. It allows you to really talk about your own story. Tell us about some of the other features for some people that are familiar with Tony Hawk over the past past couple of years. They're familiar with the game. What are some of the other than the video editor? What are some of the new features we can see this year?
Well, creating your own story is sort of the impetus for all of our features. You know, we've got you sort of choose your storyline that you want to play. You know, are you more career skater, more hardcore, more rigor? As you go down different paths, you'll get different mechanics and abilities and different storylines. You know, you might get nail the grab if you're more career. You might get aggro kicking and skate checking if you're hardcore. You get the rigor man, you'll be able to create your own skate parks if you're, go more rigor. And then as you play down these storylines, your character, who you get to create when you first start the game, actually changes. So if you're more hardcore, you get some tattoos and, ripped jeans. You know, if you're more career, you'll get the bling and the gangles and that kind of thing. If you're more rigor, you get the work gloves and the work pants. And your character actually changes so that when you're going online, your character will represent how you played the game in the single-player mode with his different abilities, with his different look to him, and with his different stats and with his different cash. And you actually get to bet online this year, too. We have online cash that you can use to bet in online games. So, you could say, this trick attack game is worth $500. Everybody has to pony up $500, and then the winner takes it all.
Wow.
So we're trying to really allow you to take your single player, what you've done in the single player game, and bring it onto the online and then, throw down the gauntlet to other guys. The other thing we do is as you play down the different storylines, if you decide to do the story about breaking into the Air and Space Museum, once you finish that storyline, you can actually buy one of the helicopters from the museum and take it into what we're calling your skate lounge. It's just sort of your home base, this place that, is your sort of face of how you played the game. All the different storylines, you actually start to get different pieces. If you go down the storyline that involves the Downtown Showdown, a competition, if you beat that storyline, you get a bunch of pieces from the competition. If you do the one about getting your own first skate video, you can buy the limo that you guys ride off in the end of the movie. So all these different pieces, however you play the game in the single-player mode, now you can buy and put into your skate lounge and create your own setups and invite people to come in online and play in that skate lounge with those pieces that you've put in. You're like, hey, how'd you get the limo, or how'd you get the helicopter, or how'd you get the, those pieces? And you can tell them, oh, I did it by doing this storyline, and they can go and try to do those challenges themselves too.
So there's really two parts of this. You talked about the storyline, and then there's the also kind of getting your skate lounge ready to invite people over.
Yeah, your skate lounge is really like your place where you can show what you've done and prove to other people what you've done and set up your own skate park the way you want to with your pieces and then show it off.
Wow, fascinating. I'll have to take a look at that. I'm sure, I don't know as if my skate lounge will have a lot of stuff in it, but I'm certain I can pull a few things.
Well, then also, as you get more money, you can also buy different themes for it, and you can buy other pieces for it that you didn't necessarily get from the single player. You can set your own music to it. It's not necessarily just the single player stuff, too.
Sure. I want to talk to you about working with Tony Hawk, the man himself. What's that experience like?
Tony's great to work with. He's involved from the first second to the last second on the game. Every single time we do a game, we, first come up with a concept. We run it by him. He'll sort of, say, oh, that part's good. That card's kind of lame, this is real. This is not real. Oh, these pros would be great for this, and then we come up with our concept, we flush it out, and then as we, come up with more ideas, like with Nail the Grab, he's like, you'd never grab the board like that. You'd do it like this, and he just keeps it real so that we're not doing stuff that's way, way, way too out in outer space and stays true to skateboarding. And then right up through, submission, he's, along the way, giving his comments on what he thinks is fun, what he thinks is not fun. He drops by many times a year. So that, we make sure, we're going to make great games, and he makes sure it stays as true to possible as skateboarding culture.
Tell us about what we can expect in terms of downloadable content. What do you guys have in plans in store for that?
Well, this year, the main thing is we put everything into the game that we put. So we spent all the time putting everything into the box. There is actually, we want to make sure when you buy this, you get everything. So there is no downloadable content.
Wow. So you guys are right out of the box. You're pretty much, there's tons of stuff to do.
There is tons of stuff. I mean, you can read one of the reviews. They think it takes you 100 hours plus to finish everything in this game. And I will tell you, I wouldn't doubt if you wanted to get everything in this game, it would take you easily that long.
Yeah, that's like Oblivion style.
Yeah, we tried to put as much in this game. The big thing is because we allowed you to take the choice of how you want to play the game. Do you want to be career? Do you want to be rigger? Do you want to be hardcore? Do you want to play it old school and play the classic goals? Do you want to play it like Project 8 where there are more pick-up and play goals? All those are in there, and there's like a game's worth of all those in the game. And so it's like five times the size of a normal Tony Hawk game. And so if you really want to do everything, you don't have to do that to finish the main storyline, but if you really want to do everything, it'll take a long, long, long time to finish it.
All right, joining me all the way from Japan is video game legend Tetsuya Mizuguchi, also known as The Miz. Miz, thank you for joining me today.
Hello. Very good to talk to you.
I'm very excited because your brand new title is now out and available on Xbox Live Arcade, which is Every Extend Extra Extreme, which is E4, which was released this week on Xbox Live Arcade. For some of the listeners who may not be very familiar with the Every Extend series, can you give me a little bit of background and tell them about it?
Okay, Every Extend Extra, we call E3. We released this game on PSP before, and this is the totally new. It's totally different from E3. So the gameplay is basically the same, but E3 was I think it's a little bit. Game design, it's very simple and stoic. But E4 is the, it's like, the fever experience, like, slot machine. You can enjoy the chain reaction of sound and the visual effects. And many objects, the making, the chain reactions, and also the vibrations. And if you sit in a couch and the play, and you can watch the mini effects and the reactions. And and also the audio, it's like a 5.1 surround. And the visual is high def, and we put the many modes. You can enjoy by your own music, and also we put the new mode called Outfall. This is the revenge mode. So this is the shooter. 100% shooter, and we put the 100 stages in it. So I think the E4 is totally new.
I see. Now you're behind some of the greatest classics. You know, we've got Sega Rally Championship, Rez, Space Channel 5, and so forth. When you were working with Sega, and now you've broken off and you've got your own company, Q Entertainment, and you produced some wonderful titles like Luminous for PSP and Meteos for the DS. You've really produced for all the different platforms. How do you decide what platform is best for a specific title, or how do you decide, make those design decisions?
It depends on platforms, and so we usually get the inspirations by the new technology and the new, the hardware innovation. So, the PSP, we got an inspiration like, this is an interactive Walkman, and the people play something and enjoying the music and the visual effects with headset. So, like that kind of style always gives, us some inspiration and influence to the new ideas. And also like a DS, touching something and watching two screens and that kind of style, the making the Meteos ideas. And also like Xbox 360, this is a high def 5.1 sound and you can download. So always we get an influence from the kind of technology inspiration.
So you kind of take your cue from what's going on with the specific platform, which makes a lot of sense. You really have done a lot of different games in the past few years. Where do you think gaming is going to be going? I mean, we've got this wonderful digital distribution model with Xbox Live Arcade. What do you think about that model and the future of games for you know, games like what you're producing here for Xbox Live Arcade?
You know, 5-6 years ago, we had only 2 or 3 platforms. You know, it's like a, you know, stage in the theater. And so if, you know, we are actors, you know, we can, you know, just perform only just only a few stages before. But now we have many, many, many stages, you know, the big stage, small stage, and the audience, you know, the many type of audience we have now, you know, the casual people and the people who loves the games very much, and the female, male, you know, other people, young people. So I think this kind of, you know, phenomenon is, you know, I think expanding in the future. And I think the TV also getting interactive soon. And, you know, the mobile phone and like an iPhone. So many mobile devices coming. So I think it's really positive, you know, future. And I think the many type of games can exist. So I think the game isn't a game anymore in the future.
I see.
So we. Yeah, we don't have any, you know, new words yet, but I think that this kind of phenomenon is getting a new, trend.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Japanese gaming versus, you know, Western gaming. It seems like they're kind of always in these parallel universes, and they kind of have touch points. You've created some wonderful games which really do well in both in Western culture and in Japan, you know, Luminous and the Every Extend series. What are some of the secrets for you on how you're able to create these games that have this international appeal?
So I always think about the human basic instinct and the very deep want of human being. So if we could use that, we can design very deep game design. That game design, you know, the many people can play in the worldwide, any races. So, but this is very difficult, you know, always, you know, and we take a long, long time to create that kind of things. But I think we need to do that. And so even if, you know, we use kind of a kinematic experience, if I have chance to make you know, like that, mm-hmm. I want to make how we can make this, you know, the world, create the world for, you know, any races. So I think this is very difficult, but this is a very important thing to me. So that's very difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult, but it also seems to be something that you've, I don't want to say have mastered, but you seem to have a good idea of how to make things work, as I say, in both be popular in Japan as well as in Western culture. So congratulations on that. Well done.
I'm getting old.
Well, when you become old, you become wise.
So, maybe yes.
Anyway, well, listen, Mizuguchi-san, I appreciate you taking the time. You and I were supposed to catch up in Japan, but of course we all know what happened with me in Japan. So, but I will hopefully see you next year. And again, congratulations on shipping Every Extend Extra Extreme on Xbox Live Arcade. It's available for 800 points this week. And again, I truly appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Joining me on the line today from New York City is Jonathan Colton. Jonathan, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on with me. I'm so thrilled to chat with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
A lot of people may not know what you do because they haven't finished Portal yet. But for why don't you tell some folks, tell my listeners who you are.
My name is Jonathan Colton. I'm a musician, a singer-songwriter, and an internet superstar. I'm an independent musician, I write and record and release my own stuff. And I guess the reason we're having this conversation is that I wrote a song that is part of a video game.
Part of a very popular video game. You wrote a song that is in Portal, which is part of the Orange Box. And a lot of folks, the reason I started talking about this at the beginning was a lot of folks may not have come across your song yet because they haven't finished Portal.
Yeah.
And so your song is part of the end credits, correct?
That's right. It plays at the end, yeah.
Now, first of all, have you played Portal? You've played it.
Yes, I have. I was, because I was working on the song for Valve, I had the opportunity to play a sort of early version of the game before everything was finished. And, you know, I had, of course, like everybody else on the internet, had seen the little preview trailer that was floating around and had been excited about it for a long time. So when I got to play it, I was just thrilled because I thought it was so much fun.
And it's a real mind bender. I know for the first couple levels, it really takes your sense of reality and shakes it around a little bit. I don't know if you had that experience.
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's funny. It's one of those things. You can tell it's really deep because once you get used to the Portal technology, it sort of, you start to understand it in a different way, and it adjusts your feelings about physics.
Yeah,
as you're playing it. Yeah.
I had a very similar situation with a game called Crackdown, which was out earlier this year, where I played the game, and part of in the game it was very GTA-like. And you had to find these orbs. So every time when I was out across the Microsoft campus, I was looking for orbs. Now when I'm playing other games, like I was playing Team Fortress and I was playing some of the other Orange Box titles, I start looking to say, well, if I shoot a portal there, I can end up over there. It starts affecting your reality sense.
Yeah, right. I used to have that with Tomb Raider. I would play Tomb Raider for 6 hours and then, get on the subway and I'd sort of be scanning for ledges that I could jump to and... and that sort of thing.
Now I want to talk about the song, because the song, when I finished Portal last weekend, I didn't know what to expect, because I like to avoid the internet at all costs, especially when it comes to game spoilers. And I sat there and I didn't know what to expect, so I finished it, and your song starts playing, and literally the song's about 2.5 minutes long. I had the biggest smile on my face as I just sat there in front of my screen, listening to the song, and then watching the text scroll by. And I don't want to give too much for those people that haven't finished it. But how did you come up with the concept of this song?
Well, it was in discussions with the people at Valve, and specifically Eric Wolpaw, one of the writers. He and I, well, I will avoid spoilers as well, but basically he and I had long conversations about the character in the game who is actually singing the song, and what that character was about and where that character was coming from. And as it turns out, it's the kind of personality that I'm frequently writing about anyway. I don't know what that says about me, but without giving up too much, it's this sort of passive aggressive, darkly funny in an unintentional way personality. And so it was really just talking about that and talking about the backstory, which may or may not appear in the game, and it was just a question of figuring out who this character was and then letting that character speak.
Now you did not do the vocals for this, correct? You just worked on the lyrics.
That's right. I wrote and recorded the music, and we had the voice actor who voices the character in the game. We went into a studio with her, and she recorded her vocals
And I'm not giving away. Yeah, I'm not giving away too much by saying. I mean, if you play the game, even if you play the first level, or you can hear the way you modified. You know, there was like a vocoder on the voice. Is that what did you use on the voice?
Well, that was a Valve thing because you know they of course had to do that for the game itself.
Right.
So they just applied the same stuff to that voice. I believe it was Melodyne mostly, but probably some other things as well.
So you see, you sat down. Now let's back up a little bit. How did you get involved with Valve? I mean, everyone's a big fan of Valve, but how did you get involved? And all of a sudden, it's got to be great for you, as you kind of mentioned Tomb Raider. So I assume you're a gamer. To be able to,
yeah.
to be able to put your stamp on video game history like this. Tell me some of the backstory.
Well, I had always been a huge fan of Valve since Half-Life. You know, I still remember being blown away by the opening of Half-Life, where you're working on this experiment, you don't really know what you're doing, and then everything starts to go wrong, and there's nothing you can do.
Right.
That's sort of the joke, is that they drop you in the middle of a disastrous situation. And I always thought that was a really funny and intriguing way to start a game. So I'd been a huge fan of Valve for a long time, and I was doing a show in Seattle, and some people came up to me afterwards and said, "Hey, you know, great show, we're fans, we work at Valve. Would you be interested in contributing music to Valve in some way?" I said, "Absolutely." And we talked a little more. They had me over. We talked about a few different options, and somewhere along the way, we came up with the idea that I would write this song for Portal.
Yeah, it's and I hate to be cliche here, but it's your song is almost the icing on the cake of Portal. And the reason I hate to be cliche is because for anybody who's played the game, cake is a big deal in this game.
Yes, indeed. Cake figures prominently. That is true.
So they came to you and said, "Hey, we want you to, we want you to write this song." So did you think you were going to work on the next Half-Life, or what did you think you were working on?
Well, at first we didn't, Kim Swift, who's one of the designers of the game, who originally approached me about this, and neither she nor I had any specific ideas about what we were going to do. It wasn't even clear that I was going to write music for a game. So when I first went to visit them, it was sort of open-ended. And then as we talked about Portal, because they gave me a little sneak peek of Portal, and as we talked about that and the backstory, and as we talked with Eric, the writer, it became pretty clear that that's where our sensibilities overlapped. Is with that character. And I think it was Eric who said, "I've always wanted to do like a musical number in the middle of a game." I said, "Well, I know a guy who can make that happen for you."
I think that's an understatement. So the music at the end of the game, it's very, and again, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but there's a beautiful melody there. Where did you come up with the inspiration for the melody?
I don't know. Where do you come up with the inspiration for anything? When I was imagining how this song would be, that's usually how I start. Is I try to imagine in the broadest terms possible what I want the song to evoke, or the sort of really big picture of the song. And I knew I wanted it to start quietly and maybe a little sadly. Because that seemed appropriate for the character and the situation that you find yourself in at the end of the game. I decided that was one of the first decisions I made, was that it was going to start with just a lone ukulele. Because that to me seemed the quietest and saddest way to start a song that I could think of. And so I purchased a ukulele.
Where did you find a ukulele? Is this the internet at work again?
Yes. I went online. I Googled ukulele and picked one. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
But what do I know about ukuleles? I purchased one and specifically to put it in this recording. And I was just sort of noodling around on that and came up with this sort of opening thing. And the rest of the musical ideas kind of suggested themselves from there.
Yeah, it kind of all starts falling in place. Did you go back and say this is how it's going to fit in? Did you know it was going to be at the end of the game, or did you not have any concept of where your piece was going to fit in?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be at the end of the game. We knew sort of what we wanted the song to be as a set piece. you know, we knew what the character was going to be thinking about and feeling at that point.
Right.
So, we didn't know where it was going
to
be.
Do you want to work on more other video games as well? Was this a positive experience?
Oh, it was an incredibly positive experience. I mean, I posted in my blog recently about a game called Skull Monkeys.
Yep.
Which I had played on, I think, the original PlayStation, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was a PS1 game.
Yeah, and there's a bonus room that you go into, and you just sort of run around and pick up coins, and you can stay in there as long as you want, you know. And while you're in there, there's a guy singing with an acoustic guitar about the bonus room and how lovely it is to be in a bonus room. And I when I was playing that and I got to that room and heard that song, I was like, this is amazing. You know, this is really a brilliant new take on using music in a game, you know, and God, why do I not get to do that?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what was so thrilling about Valve is I could tell that they were really interested in doing something kind of unique and out of the box. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, we need exciting music for the segment when, you know, you're trying to get out before the reactor explodes.
Right. Yeah, no, this is, it's definitely, like I say, it's definitely the icing on the cake that is Portal, and because it just kind of sums up, and it really wraps everything nicely up in a package in terms of the story and your feeling of emotions with the game.
Well, thank you. And you know, you bring up a good point. It is a strangely emotional game, and I think that's, you know, for the subject matter.
Yeah.
You know, without giving it away, it's very, after you, if somebody described this game to you, you wouldn't imagine there was any emotional content at all. But I think, you know, it's to their credit that they created such a strong character and a strong voice that you do sort of, you are moved by it in some ways.
I actually, you know, I ended up playing the first couple levels, and I really didn't have the audio up on my TV or in my sound system too loud, so I was kind of missing some of it. And then about halfway through the second or definitely by the third level, I was like, wait a minute, this is actually a character and this is actually fun. And I was waiting to hear what other lines the character was going to come up with and how the character, and it's kind of not a he or a she, how the character started treating me. And it became this weird emotional bond.
Yeah. And it's to their credit that they very patiently and quietly reveal to you that this is a character, and I think a lot of people have that experience. Is that you don't really pay attention; you think it's just background, and then you start to realize, oh, this is the story.
Right, and then the story takes an interesting twist in the last couple of levels. And again, I'm not going to do any spoilers. That it again takes in a different direction, and then of course it all comes together with your song. So
yeah,
I listen, Jonathan. I appreciate it. I'm going to let you go. JonathanColton.com. I'll put a link up to your blog. And folks who haven't played Portal yet, I urge you to give it a spin. It's on the Xbox 360. It's on PC. It's coming to other platforms, the PS3 and so forth, later on in the year. And Jonathan, I appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, so there's the update on Team Fortress. You heard about the auto update in there. We found out some interesting stuff about Tony Hawk, the new Tony Hawk, which has a cool video editor in it, which I definitely need to try out. And then Mizuguchi is always interesting having a conversation with those guys over in Japan. He's really interesting guy to talk to.
Yes, and he's put out some amazing stuff over the years.
And then of course Jonathan Colton, who was the last interview there, he's the guy who wrote the Portal song, the end song, which
is just awesome.
Which you haven't, you know, we're not going to avoid any spoilers here. We don't want to. But you don't hear this song until you're done with the game, until you finish the game.
Right. And the things that the way they do the credits,
yeah,
as the song is playing is awesome.
So I think I mentioned this to him, but, and I don't even think we talked about this, but when I finished that game, I was sitting there and I had the biggest smile on my face for 2.5 minutes while that song was playing, because I was like, this is funny. I just it was great.
It's a great game. I love the sense of humor in it.
Right.
Some of the things that, like, the turrets will say when you kill them.
Yeah.
I don't think this is... Yeah, this really isn't giving too much away.
Don't give it away.
I don't think this is really a spoiler, but the point at which the computer says to you, ha-ha, wasn't it funny the way I tried to pretend to murder you?
Right, right.
That killed me.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. And he actually talked, you know, as you heard, he talked a lot about the personality and what it was like working with Valve. And he loves games, so...
Yeah. And if you have not picked up the orange box, just for Portal, you need to go get
it. Yeah, so Orange Box, it's on, and we talked about this, on 360. It's on Steam. It's on PC.
Yep.
It's coming on the PS3 eventually.
Yes.
So, so
what was that?
What is what?
Didn't you hear that crash?
No.
Okay. Somebody
you,
just...
You hear things strange in this things. Office.
Okay.
This is that weird office that we were talking about. We're in my office this week. Maybe when you come, you have a new office too. Maybe we should come over and record a show over there sometime.
Sure.
But thanks, Jonathan, for coming on. We're in this kind of the second half. We're in the third half of the show now.
Yes.
We're in the third half of the show.
We're in overtime.
We're in the third half of the show. And, part of the third half of the show is Name the Game. So the Name the Game for last week is right here. Here it is. And as you probably figured out, that was Portal.
Ta-da.
That was the sound, one of the, you know, when you're actually making the portal. So the winner for Name the Game is, let's see, Gamertag Facek Stabber from Panama City, Florida, where I went. Waffle House. Bet you he's been to that Waffle House down there.
Yep.
So congratulations. Waffles. You grabbed yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset. We'll get that off to you. And not unlike 2 weeks ago when we forgot to do Name the Game.
Right. We'll actually do it.
You want to do it right now?
Sure.
Okay. All right, if you think you know what that is, that's Name the Game for this week. Email me, major@xbox.com. Include your gamer tag. In the subject line, please put Name the Game, colon, what your guess is, and then hopefully you'll win.
Good luck.
So I did a podcast this week, or last week.
Chiefy D, right?
I did Chiefy D. Chiefy D and Wombat.
I haven't listened to that yet. How'd it go?
Well, apparently the guys over at Kotaku did. It was great. Love talking to those
yes,
guys.
Yes, that I saw.
It was weird. I do a podcast, and it makes a story on Kotaku for me saying, what did I say? I repeat it?
So
I said something that got picked up over there at Kotaku. You can go over and figure that out. But it was good talking to those guys. And I actually mentioned this, if you haven't listened to it, I mentioned this during the interview with them, is I really do enjoy having other people on my show. And I told them I was going to have them on my show when I went to Japan. We all know what happened there.
Oops.
I just don't like doing interviews over Skype because they're not very good.
The sound quality is just sound not nearly as good as
it's
doing
iffy.
It in person.
It's really iffy. So thank you for having me on the show, Cheapy D and Wombat. And let's see what else. You know what I want to remind people? I'm going to make a post about this probably next week.
Daylight savings time.
No, but good guess.
Okay.
Good guess. When is that coming? Isn't that the middle of November? Because it was moved.
I have no idea. I just pulled that out.
But I wanted to remind people, and this is a public service announcement. Do not share your account information.
Oh. Is this happening again?
Yeah, I have to say this. I'm going to make a post on this. You know, people, if you know that person that's in that Halo game that can probably get you to the next level and they say send me your account information, yeah, you're not going to get your account information back most likely.
Yeah, that's like, hey, if you loan me your credit card, I'll raise your credit limit. Trust me.
Right. Yeah, if you loan me your credit card, I promise I'll pay it back. Right. So don't share your account information to anybody. Online or offline. First of all, it's a violation of the terms of use.
Yes.
And second of all, it's just nothing good can come from it.
Don't. Use some common sense.
Yeah, so I'll make a post about this later in the week, but I thought it was definitely worth mentioning that you should definitely not do that. Do you have any public service announcements? Actually, it's, you know what time it is? It's Xbox 101 time.
Oh.
And to kick it off, Funky has provided us with this brand new intro song.
Yes, thank you, Funky. Xbox 101, this time with E and Major
Nelson. Yeah. You know what that sounds like?
Yes.
The beginning of it sounds like Walk This Way. Just the very beginning of it.
You have to listen to it like two or three times, then you're like, oh, yeah.
I picked up on that immediately.
Yeah, I didn't until you said something.
Xbox 101 is courtesy of E. When E's on the show, he provides Xbox 101, which are tips and hints and tricks that can help you navigate your Xbox 360, because it is a complex piece of hardware. And software, if you know, with the service.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you got this week, E?
I'm biased, but I'd say the software is the hard part. Anyways, this week's Xbox 101 is actually about hardware.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people listening that have, you know, multiple wireless controllers, wireless headsets. They've got all these devices, pretty soon wireless guitars.
That's right.
That, you know, hey, they've made an investment in. They like using them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked a lot about how this fall there's going to be a lot of really good games for Windows.
Right.
Where you can use the controller or whatever. Viva Pinata is coming to PC. Gears of War is coming to PC.
Gears of War.
What did I say?
Gears for War.
I did?
Yes, you did.
Well, that would be wrong, so why did I say that?
I don't know.
I should sleep more often. Anyways, so some good games coming to the PC. Some people that are going to pick those up may already have a 360, and instead of using keyboard and mouse, want to use the control scheme that they're used to.
Right.
There's a little gadget you can go pick up at your local game store called the Wireless Receiver for Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little dongle that connects to the PC mm-hmm. that allows it to talk to our wireless accessory. It
looks like a little white mouse.
Yeah, pretty much. A little smaller than the average mouse.
Right.
And it allows you to then bind your wireless controller, your wireless headset, to your PC.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use your wireless headset on the PC to chat. You can use it, you know, with VoIP programs, whatever. It's just like a normal wired headset on a PC would work. And then the controller works, but you don't have to plug it into the USB port. You can kind of sit back. If you've got a nice, you know, PC hooked up to your TV, it lets you sit back on the couch and play just like you would with your 360.
Which I did when I was playing, when I played Halo 2.
Yes,
when I played Halo 2 on Vista, I went through it and was kind of kicking back. I was doing it all wireless, and it was cool.
I did not have one back then. I picked one up a couple of weeks ago for myself in anticipation of the games that are coming out. They're only, I think, $20 in the U.S. I would assume they're similar priced elsewhere. $20.
That's a great price.
Yeah, totally worth it.
So that's the Xbox One for this week. I'm sorry, I'm still going back to walk this way.
Well, that and you're watching Halo 3.
I'm watching Halo 3 in the back. Let's swing in and talk about gadgets-y, because I got a couple of gadgets here to talk about. What do you have?
Gadgets is good.
What do you have?
Well, actually, just this last Tuesday, Transformers came out. Transformers came out on HD DVD.
Which I should be getting in any time in the mail.
So I have my copy. Amazon was good and delivered it on Wednesday, I think. So tonight I'm having a bunch of people over. We're going to get some pizza, watch Transformers.
Notice how he says a bunch of people and I'm never on that invite list.
You never come. You're invited.
You would have. No.
Would you like to come to my house tonight and watch Transformers in high def?
I'm busy.
See? This.
I'm busy. But thank you for asking.
Hundreds of thousands of people just went, I knew it. I knew he wouldn't go.
I would. I'm going to go to the Halloween. Wait a minute. I don't think I was invited. Did you invite me to the Halloween party?
Yes, you're invited to the Halloween party. You came last year.
That's
remember?
Right. That's right. I was dressed as a cowboy.
Yes. You dressed as one of our coworkers.
One of the guys was a cowboy. Was a cowboy. Yeah.
He's from
Texas.
Arkansas,
Texas.
Doesn't like to admit it, but he's from Arkansas. Anyways, so Transformers on HD DVD. I am really looking forward to that. I'm sure it's going to be freaking gorgeous.
Can we talk about that next week?
We can talk about that.
Good. Let's talk about Transformers next week.
While we're on the subject of HD DVD, though, they just announced, and this is up on Xbox.com somewhere. You should throw it in the link dump.
Yep.
They're extending the buy the HD DVD player get 5 free movies deal.
Yep.
And either they've changed the list of movies, or I just hadn't looked at it lately, because there's some really freaking good movies in there.
I don't think you've looked at it lately.
So Serenity's in there.
I should ask, because the person who updates that is right around the corner.
Yeah.
She'll be able to tell
me. But that's a nice deal. If you don't have one of those, an HD DVD player with 5 movies for, I think, $179 US.
Yeah.
If you have a nice TV, it's totally worth it. I love mine.
Well, I'm still loving my HD TiVo, which I think they're going to enable the external SATA port.
They did.
On some of them.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm
just not yours.
I haven't gotten the update yet.
Okay.
I guess they do rolling updates.
Yeah, they do.
So I haven't gotten mine yet, but I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. So I want to drop a terabyte or something in there.
Yeah, I've got either 400 or 500 gigs in my...
Yeah, I can just snap it on the end. I love it. So that's just snap it on the outside, and I'm good to go.
Crack mine open, you know, run some disks and some utilities. That took a while.
What else you got for gadgets? I want to talk about this one. So I got this really cool Polycom device. So we talked last week about how I'm beta testing this voiceover IP phone.
The really cool one that ejects your DVD.
Right, so when I pick up the phone, my DVD drive opens.
I notice I look over at your laptop and the DVD
open.
Drive is open.
You can always tell if I've been on the phone because my DVD drive's been open. It just kind of pops open. But this is this little Polycom. What does this look like, E?
Well, it's in a case that looks like a pocket PC case.
Yeah, and you open it up. It's about the size of like an old school pocket PC, or it looks like an old Newton.
Well, it's a lot smaller than a Newton.
No, the news.
Yeah,
right.
It's like the size of like an iPack or something.
Yeah, so
like
it's anyway a big thing, and you plug it in, and basically wherever I am in the world, this is the speakerphone. So my office phone rings like when I go to New York next time or wherever I am, I can take this with me and I can call you on this.
So to be clear for the listeners that can't see it plugs into your computer USB.
Right, plugs into my USB port, and it has a little stand. It becomes a little speakerphone like when I'm in a hotel room, or it has little headphones.
That's really cool.
And then I use the software dialing on Office Communicator 2007.
I think someone has a package for you.
Oh, really?
There's a guy standing outside your office.
Bring him in. Wave him in.
Yep, here we go. We have a package.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'll sign for this.
What'd you get?
Hold on.
Where's it from? Hang on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Look at this. We're actually getting mail while we're sitting. Oh, that doesn't sound good here.
Is it supposed to do that?
No, no. Let's shake it. It's
from. Can we say who it's from there? It's the at least the company?
It looks like it's from Pepsi. Why would Pepsi be sending me something?
Here, I've got my keys.
Let's continue talking about gadgets, and we'll rip this open. So anyway, so this Polycom thing, it works with the Office 2007 server, and it allows me basically to make phone calls wherever I am, and my phone basically comes with me. So E's holding the microphone in front of this, and it's ripping. Ugh.
Well, I tried to hand it to you, and you wouldn't take it.
All right, we're opening this box up. Ugh. Ouch.
I don't think it's supposed to be making that noise.
I don't know what this is.
It's Mountain Dew.
Something Mountain Dewy.
It's Halo and Game Fuel and whoops.
Oh look, it's got a little fake ice inside. Oh, it's the it's the Halo 3 bottle. See that?
Oh, cool. Oh, it was the ice making.
Yeah, it was the fake ice making the noise.
So is this like a?
Hold on, here's the noise. Yeah, people are really pissed at me now for doing that. Sorry.
It's low sodium.
This is the Mountain Dew Game Fuel Special Edition aluminum bottle.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's...
Here. So it's a little cool bottle. So look for that in your Game Fuel store, because we need to have Master Chief on pretty much everything.
Now, I've had a couple people tell me that it tastes different in the bottle than in the can. So I haven't tried the bottle. I only tried the can.
You're chugging this stuff all the time.
I took one sip, and that was it. It's liquid gummy bear.
It is liquid gummy bear. So let's get back to gadgets now that we've opened this package live on the air here.
I'm reading what's in it.
Well, don't do that. No, don't do that.
Wait.
Don't do that.
There's two words on there that...
That you don't understand?
No, that I just don't make sense in a drink.
Okay. Well, that's...
Okay.
That's the way things go.
Yeah, moving on.
So anyway, that's my Polycom. What do you have?
We were talking phones last week, and I've actually gotten a bunch of messages from people wanting to know what I think of my new phone.
Right.
Because
like, that's the one you ripped off from me. You came over here, and you were here when my phone guy was here, and you're like, oh, I'll take that.
And
I'm like, dude, it's my phone.
I offered to give it back to you. You didn't want it.
But then I hexed it.
And then, it had one episode where it just went to sleep and didn't want to wake back up.
Mm-hmm.
It's been working great since then. I love it.
So you have the what?
This is the HTC S630.
Okay.
So the Dash was the 620. This is the successor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a faster Dash, comes natively with WM6. It's 3G, has a 2-megapixel camera. It's just, it's a really nice phone. Just feels really good in the hand.
Yeah, no, it does.
So I'm a big fan.
Yes, you are.
And you're, to be clear, and he's more than just phone guy, but
yeah.
That's... the way, you know, his moniker on the show.
Yeah.
Phone guy was here again today, and you wouldn't let me come visit.
Absolutely not.
So
he gave me the Polycom.
Well, I could have had that.
Yeah, exactly. So you got the phone. What else do we have up there
to think what else has arrived, you know, in the mail lately.
Well, I got a new TV.
Oh, yeah, we had to haul that sucker in.
When I moved offices, my original TV broke. I was busted in the move.
Right. Yep.
So I went to Costco and bought a new Vizio. Which Vizio did I get? I got the...
This is the 42-inch 1080p.
Yeah, it's the 42-inch... I don't even know where the model number is. It's around here someplace.
It's... Yeah, I have no idea. But they've changed the styling a little bit.
No,
I really like it.
The book's around. It's nowhere about it. So it's the 40... You can't miss it. It's the 47-inch Vizio. So it looks great.
42. You said that on the phone last night, too.
Yeah, I did. Because I have a 47-inch at home.
Yeah, but I continue to believe that, you know, they're not... I'm not going to say it's the best looking TV there is, but bang for the buck.
It works.
I don't know anything better than Vizio. Looking at Halo 3 on this right now over
looks pretty
HDMI,
good.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks really good. So I got the Vizio last night. I picked that up at Costco, and you came in this morning and helped me bring it in. We need to talk about generators. Because yeah. Last year we had a windstorm here in Seattle.
We had the windstorm to end all windstorms last year.
Which some of us were without power 3, 4, 5 days, even more so than that, some people.
Yeah.
So the wind kicked up again earlier this week, and you and I were talking, and you're like, I got to get a generator, because you and I have been talking about it. And
I was going to get a whole house generator this summer and just completely spaced it, because the weather was...
Because you were too busy playing the Halo 3 Epsilon.
That could be. Yeah. But you don't think about it in the summer, which is the time to do it, because the installers probably aren't real busy.
I got those big trees down behind my house, so I was sleeping real well.
Oh, that's true. They can't fall on your house now.
That's right. They can't. So I was, sleeping very well this week. Thank you very much.
I want to have... I don't need the whole...
I don't need to power the whole house when the power goes out.
Right.
But I'd like to be able to power the fridge so I don't have to throw everything away.
Right.
And a TV and a console so I have something to do while I wait for the power to come back on. And so I was looking online yesterday and, you know, Costco, Home Depot, things like that, and found that I could get one that would do that for a reasonable price that would, you know, run for, I don't know, 10, 20 hours, something like that, without a refuel.
A ton of hours.
Yeah. And, of course, everyone else had the same idea, and everybody is completely sold out.
Yeah, I was surprised when I went to Costco to get the TV. They had a bunch, you know, not less than a week ago, there was a bunch of them, and nothing there last night.
Yeah.
Party's over.
There was far too long a delay between, oh, there's a windstorm coming in, and, oh, I should go get a generator.
We also need to say that we never lost any power either.
I had a flicker.
We had a couple of flickers.
When I got home, you know, the things were blinking. I had to reset the clock, so the house had lost power at some point.
By the way, did you build your Windows Home server?
That's the other thing I got. No, I haven't even taken the hard drives out of the box yet.
Oh, come on.
Well, the plan for last weekend was build the Windows Home server.
Right, I remember that.
Instead of that, I played Halo 3 campaign on Legendary start to finish, and
right.
I played Portal start to finish. Those are clearly
didn't
more
leave
important.
You didn't leave you with enough time to
no.
build so your the, Windows.
I think
are you
going to
do it this weekend?
Priorities right.
You're going to do it this weekend?
In between Transformers and the game and... no,
and this party
probably,
tonight.
Probably not. That's the Transformers party.
Yeah.
People are coming over. Pizza, beer, movie. You know, you're not coming.
No, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Because I'm busy.
You're too important.
And Trixie's out of town in New York. Right. Go see Trixie in New York. What should we tell people to tell Trixie? Because she's not here and we can tell them anything.
Ooh.
Right?
What's the rating of this podcast?
No, this is E for everyone.
Oh.
Or mostly E for
is
everyone.
E for everyone?
Yeah.
Moving on. Major Nelson sent me?
No.
KP sent me.
No, well, we'll come up
no,
with something.
Let's get KP in trouble.
No, I don't know. Yeah, ask her. Actually, we can ask her, have people go ask her what we ended up giving her for a job description. Because remember,
that would work. Or just...
on her business cards. That's what it was.
What's on her business cards? Or just walk up to her and say, Trixie, oh, you know, it's great to meet you, but is KP here? I really want to meet KP.
Actually, there's a funny story she was telling me. And this is what you can ask her. She went to cook something. She was boiling water. Did you hear this story?
Wait. Back up.
Yeah, I know.
Trixie went to cook something?
She was boiling water, and her oven, her stove caught on fire. Boiling water. Isn't that unbelievable?
No wonder she
so
didn't
I don't know
tell
what was more
I have to go talk to
I
her.
I don't know what was more surprising, the fact that she was boiling water, that she was cooking...
or the fact that she set it on fire.
Right. I mean, there's way too much going on
the
there.
The instant we're done recording, I'm calling Trixie and mocking her incessantly.
So that's when you're awesome. In New York, go up to her and ask her what she was cooking and if she you know, put the fire out. Right?
That's awesome. All right. No wonder she lives in the McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah, she does. Whenever she says she's going out to dinner, I ask her what drive-thru she's going to hit.
Yep.
So,
and she admits it. She's not, you know, culinary inclined. Cool and
as is demonstrated by her recent explosive experience.
That's awesome. Yeah.
All right. If you don't have anything else here, we're going to wrap it up because the show's meandering.
Well, that's a first.
Yeah, I know. It is a first.
I've never seen that happen before. Okay.
You're playing Guitar Hero. You're excited about Guitar Hero 3, aren't you?
I love the song selection for Guitar Hero.
I'm
3.
Horrible at
there
that.
There are. I'm trying to remember. I've seen you play Rock Band. Have I seen you play Guitar Hero?
Mm-mm. I'm not good at it.
Oh.
I'm not good at it.
Because
I'm not as good as I am at Rock Band.
Wow. So we actually, Wednesday night, we went back to the place that will forever be known as the bar where the guy got stabbed.
Right, I remember that.
Did the Guitar Hero thing again. That's fun. That's a great game to just kind of, you know, do in a big group, have some beers, fries,
I'm horrible
random
at it.
Things.
I'm so bad at it.
There were some people there who are phenomenal.
Yeah, there's. I think it's a wonderful talent.
I don't have
just
it.
Not me.
No, I can. I can play on medium and, you know, get 90-some%.
So you're gonna play the drums in Rock Band? You're gonna play the?
I'm gonna play everything. So I think I got someone lined up to do some vocals. I got someone lined up for some drums. But my pre-order's in. I'm ready and waiting.
You know what I need? I was thinking about this for my Wii.
Okay.
There's a game that was supposed to come out where you can conduct an orchestra.
There was?
Yeah, I thought I was. It was. I think it may be Japan only, and I was going to get it when I was in Japan. But
oh, speaking of which, Super Smash Brothers slipped to next year.
Ooh, it did?
Yeah, that's one I was really looking forward to.
So
they did announce it's going to have online play, which is cool.
Good.
But it's not shipping until, I think, February,
mm-hmm.
which kind of blows. But Mario Galaxy soon, and I was talking to someone who's been playing Raving Rabbids 2.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for that game. I love Raving Rabbids. So
can't wait for that either.
Not on 360 this time, unfortunately.
Oh, well.
It's a Wii only.
Wii only. We can play it on the Wii. It was always fun. It was fun on the Wii, though.
It was, that game was just better suited to the Wii. It was obviously designed for the Wiimote.
It was lots of fun.
Yeah. And the rabbits are just cool.
All right. So I think I'm looking around here because I don't, no one knows this. But so in our lobby of my new building, there's that, there's that foosball table.
Right. The one that I challenged KP to play on.
And it's a racket.
Oh, really?
It's really loud when they're out there playing.
Okay.
So I've, when I'm trying to get work done, I go out there and take the ball. And just I put it in my office. I don't know where the foosball ball is.
You, it's in here somewhere?
It may be. I think it is.
Oops.
So they haven't figured, no one's figured it out that I'm taking the foosball ball. Because when you walk up and you're trying to play it, you can't play it.
You just walk off.
So you just move, you just move along. So that's been my strategy. Is I'm,
nice.
I've been taking the foosball ball for hostage.
Maybe Stewie has it.
No, Stewie doesn't have it. Trust me, Stewie does not have it. All right. We are going to wrap it up now because we need to. It's the end of the show. I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net for providing MajorNelson.com with their secured and assured hosting environment. Also, CashFly for their services for caching this podcast and many others. And Eve for sitting in this week, and Funky for the Walk This Way ripoff.
I got to ask him if he did that on purpose.
And I also want to thank all my guests for coming in. It was great to, always good to talk to them. I want to thank Cheap PD for letting me be on, and Wombat for letting me be on their show.
Very cool. I'll even go listen to it.
I was supposed to go to Spain. Did I tell you the story?
You didn't tell me why. You were just like, I'm going to Spain.
The bloggers, some folks over there invited me to go meet with some bloggers, and I can't, so I'm going to be doing something over Xbox Live Vision, like you and I did that year in Leipzig, where you were back here.
The one with the Kotaku article.
Yeah, that one. So I'll talk more about that next week, because I'll know more details about that. But thanks, everybody, for making the show what it is. I am, we've talked about that Zune is supporting podcasting.
Yes.
And I'm going to have a special Zune podcast URL available.
Cool, so that you can wirelessly sync the Major Nelson podcast.
Yeah, it's good stuff. That's good stuff. If you don't have anything else to add, E, I think we're going to end it here.
One thing.
Yes.
Go Ducks.
Go Ducks. All right, there we go. Go Orange, but yeah, I know you really won't. All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. Somebody asked me if there's a normal amount of time that I put between the regular show and the after show. And the answer is no.
No, but I think it's getting longer.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's like, I swear as a listener, it's 3 minutes.
Yeah, when I'm editing it, it's easy to just kind of throw it in there. But the answer is no, there isn't. But I do need to make it, I need to be consistent. I feel bad. Sorry.
There are times when I'm listening to it and I'm like, wow, there's no after show this week. Wait, I recorded an after show.
I know
where'd
there's one. Where is it? What's going on here? I don't know if I have anything to say. I'm kind of tired.
You're not coming down with the crap
I hope not.
I had, are you?
Oh, yeah. You finally shook it.
Yeah. Did you drink orange juice a couple nights ago? A little.
Because that's the key. Whenever I start getting sick, I just start power drinking a ton of orange juice. And this one, it was orange juice and cranberry juice.
For me, it was because I was really low energy because of it, so I drank a lot of espresso.
How's that going?
It didn't work so well, but the espresso was good. But I know I'm really better now because, like, 2 nights ago, all of a sudden, I finally had the energy to clean. So the place was a little messy because I haven't found new cleaning people since I fired the old ones.
So you finally fired them?
Didn't I tell this story?
No.
Oh, yeah, I was, it was...
You told me you didn't know who they were, so you couldn't fire them.
Well, it was PAX.
Right.
So it was, I took off the Monday and Tuesday after PAX.
Right.
And they used to come on Tuesdays.
Right.
So we're all there at the house, and there's a knock on the door, and I open it up, and there's my cleaning people.
Right.
And I'm not sure they really understood me, but I was like, give me my key. Right. No clean house anymore.
Yeah.
And so I haven't found anyone good. Everyone I've asked, and hey, do you know any good cleaning people? They're like, no, the people I use aren't very good. If you find anyone, let me know.
I have the best person that we used to use, but I, you know.
But you can't help me either.
Yeah, I can't help you either. Yeah. So if you want to clean E's house, send him a message over live. E.
Oh, no.
Is his gamer tag. And you can come over to his house and clean his house.
Yeah, we'll get right on that. But anyways, I finally had the energy to, like, clean.
Good.
I vacuumed, I mopped, I did dishes, and I haven't had the energy to do that since I got sick, so I'm officially better now.
I got a new microwave.
Oh, that I did you get the glass fixed?
No.
That's, you got to tell that story. That's
so
awesome.
I wait last week, all day Saturday. I was playing Portal. And there's the phone ringing.
That's your phone ringing?
That's my phone, yeah. I don't know why it's... not showing is, yeah, people really enjoy this phone. So we got this brand new microwave.
What are you doing to it? It looks like you're massaging.
No, I'm putting it away. Okay. So I got this new microwave, and we take delivery of it, and they install it. It's over the...
Well, wait, you don't take delivery of it.
Oh, yeah. Because, you want to tell the whole story?
Yeah. This is, anyone who's got a house will appreciate
this. So we ordered from Sears, we ordered a new dishwasher and a new microwave. So... took forever to finally get them. They finally show up. The guy shows up Saturday. He's going to be there between 9 and 1. He shows up at 12:55 because that's the way it always is.
Which is between 9 and 1.
So the guy shows up. Nice guy. We're talking. He's working on pulling them out and so on and so forth. Kind of gets about halfway done. You know, things pulled out, ready to slide the new stuff. He says, so where are the new ones? Are they out in the garage? And I said, I thought you had them. He says, no. I'm like, oh, boy. So he's got to go to Sears. He's got to pick him up. He comes back. He finally installs him. It's now like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And he leaves. And my wife starts to clean him up because you got these new, you know, new stuff. She's trying to clean it up and just figure out what's it all about.
Your wife's big into the clean house. I've been in your house. It's very nice.
Thank you.
It's spotless.
So she starts cleaning it, and she's looking at it. She's going... something's wrong. And I'm like, what? They're brand new. What's wrong with them? Come on, honey. What's going on? He says, no, there's something wrong. So, you know when you have a microwave and there's the front piece of glass and then behind the glass is like this little grill that I guess absorbs the microwaves?
Sure.
So you can look through
that
and see.
That way when you're staring in, you're not getting brain fried.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, there's handprints on the inside of the glass. Huge handprints. And we can't clean them.
Yeah, because it's in between the two panes.
It's in between the two panes. And my wife is like, there's handprints. And they're like, no, there can't be, honey. Because you guys, you know when you're married how your wife is always right? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, there can't be. So I'm like, oh, God, there are. How'd those get in there? And I'm like, it's funny because she's standing there with her hand upside down. She's like, oh, this guy has big hands. So we finally called them and they're coming out to replace it.
Oh, they haven't done it yet.
No, I haven't done it yet.
Awesome.
So, and then this week when the power was being weird because of the wind,
yeah,
it started. I didn't tell you this part. It started showing these weird error codes.
Oh, that's how I lost my oven a couple years ago, right before Thanksgiving, and that's how my girlfriend lost her 360 during the windstorm.
Yeah, so I got to put a surge protector on the new one. They're bringing a whole new one. But this one had like this weird code, and there was like a little, and because it's got a little LCD screen, has a little animated guy in a hard hat with a little toolkit. I was like, oh, that's not good.
Wow.
I was like, oh. That's, she's like, what is it? What's this code mean?
And
I
looked at the builder.
Yeah, I looked at it and I said, it means bad things, and it means thank God we're getting a new one.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Bad. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up now, E. I'll talk to you next week if you want to.
What if I don't want to talk to you next week?
Then I'll sit here and talk to myself.
Okay, cool.
Later.